Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from PUC examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether it's your individual team, and people like to make bold predictions, right? We did that for the Royals season. Yes, I'm going to pat myself on the back a little bit. One of my bold predictions was Carlos Estevez to have a career high in saves and be an all-star. I feel pretty good about at least one of those, although the other one should happen as well. But for the Royals, it's one thing. For the Chiefs and for the NFL, the bold predictions in June are kind of fun because these are from a national publication. These are not Chiefs specific. These are NFL.
NFL.com.
Yeah, I believe Jeffrey Chedia put this out, but they're way too early bold predictions. And I know that you don't agree with most of these, but the number one they listed, I don't even think is bold. Like, you can disagree with it.
Why offer a solution to it? But
it's the number one they listed was the Bills will win the Super Bowl. Is that bold? It's a prediction. You can say, I guess it's bold if you look at the Chiefs and their run, but at the same time, is that crazy of a prediction at this point?
They've been in AFC title games. I think something bold would be saying Washington Commanders are going to win the Super Bowl. See, to me, that's, even though they made the AFC title game last year, but they haven't been perennially good like the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen's the MVP. So if you said the Ravens or the Chiefs, or I guess even if you want to go to the Bengals, something like that, Bills, same category, that's not out of the realm. Like, just saying, hey, man, I believe in Cam Ward and what he's doing to Titans. I think they're going to surprise people. They're going all the way and winning it this year. Or the Chargers, like Justin Herbert, he finally gets the job done this year. To me, that is bold. Again, like I said, I think if you said Washington wins the Super Bowl, that's a bold prediction. The Bills, no.
In fairness, I would, the Chiefs obviously are 4-0 against Josh Allen in the postseason. And so based off of this prediction, you're saying that that's going to, eventually turn the way of the Bills and they're finally going to get one. I guess that part makes it bold. The point would be, I don't think it's that crazy to suggest that the Bills end up getting there. Another one that they have listed.
I'm curious, so what would be your bold prediction? If I was going to say, just give me some. Again, this is hot takes.
Yeah, we'll do Chiefs ones tomorrow.
But I'm just curious what you would say. What you would say, because I just told you I think Washington would be something bold, even though they make the title game, but they're smoked by Philly.
Yeah, I mean, if it's an NFL-wide one, I would go with the fact that I don't know if you'll count this one as bold.
No, I can't anything. It's hot takes.
Yeah, the Dallas Cowboys will make the playoffs. And the reason why I think it fits in the bold category, I feel like everybody just assumes they're going to suck this year. Dak Prescott is still their quarterback, and I actually am much higher on Dak Prescott than most people. I question Brian Schottenheimer and being their head coach and everything, but I actually think they'll be a wild card team. I think they'll be a 10-win wild card team.
I think in the AFC, you could make a couple if you were going to say, like, Houston. I think that would qualify. Clearly, you're not going to say the Colts or the Patriots, Jets, something like that. But
I think saying something like Super Bowl
Houston
prediction
would be more bold than, quote, just going Buffalo.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they're going to be the Super Bowl favorite. I haven't seen the odds at you. They got to be like right up there at the top.
Sure. I mean, in the AFC, the Ravens and the Chiefs have the same odds to win the AFC. The Bills are just below over at FanDuel or whatever. For bold predictions, it doesn't have to be who's going to win the Super Bowl. Anyway, one of the other ones that they listed, Joe Burrow to be the league's most valuable player. I also don't think that's that crazy.
Bold.
Joe Burrow's going to put up amazing numbers. He did last season. He's got Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins back with him, and their defense is going to stink again, so they're going to have to score a bunch. So he's going to put up the numbers. Last year, last year, he led the league in passing yards, 4,900, and he had 43 touchdowns. So, yeah. I mean,
but did you see him throw a baseball at Fanatics? He could not hit the target at all. Even close.
A bucket list event I want to go to is Fanatics Fest. It's only been 2 years now of this, and Fanatics has blown up in the memorabilia and card industry. And gone to the National, and that's in Chicago this year. But I want to go to Fanatics Fest because they typically get more of the interaction and experiences that they do there. Anyway, and you're right. One of them, they do this athlete challenge thing, and Joe Burrow was throwing a baseball. Yes, and it looked like me throwing out the first pitch,
like sidearm to the
maybe
it
worse.
Didn't even hit the target. I mean, it was bad. And you wouldn't expect an NFL quarterback to do that, because usually a lot of the NFL quarterbacks were pitchers in college with baseball and everything else.
He was throwing it like a football.
Even throwing a football, that thing's going way off. Well, what's wrong with Burrow? Did that bother you at all, Drew, seeing that? Because that seriously was very weird watching that. It was very weird to watch that.
No, it didn't bother me at all.
If I saw Mahomes doing that, I'd be like, whoa, what the hell happened?
Well, that's because Mahomes was a pitcher. I don't know. I don't know if Joe Burrow played baseball in high school. He's a basketball player. I know that.
Yeah, obviously he didn't play baseball. But
Burrow for MVP, though, I don't think that's crazy
to think
about.
It's not bold at all. I think if you said Mahomes wins it again, that would be the bold category. And even though he's won it twice, I think that would be a bold step up because – you know, they've been 15th in scoring the last 2 years. I think Mahomes is going to have a resurgent. He's throwing for, 4,500 this year. He's going to lead the league in touchdowns. And Mahomes will be your MVP. To me, that's more bold than saying Joe Burrow.
I would say what was the knock? I mean, for Burrow last year was like, hey, if they were a playoff team, maybe there'd be an MVP argument. That's still the key here. The numbers are going to be there. Will they be good enough to be back in the postseason? And if they are, then he's got a real chance to win MVP. I mean, if he put up the identical numbers, 4,900 yards and 43 touchdowns, and he had 9 picks. If they did that and they won 11 games, he's probably winning MVP.
He was unreal for the line that he had and everything. I can't knock that. He was unreal.
Now, odds-wise, I'll tell you, Mahomes and Burrow actually have the same odds at FanDuel to win MVP. They're both 6-1. The favorite is Lamar. Josh Allen, Mahomes and Burrow are all 6-1. Jaden Daniels is 8.5-1. And then there's a huge drop off. Yeah. Justin Herbert, 20-1. Stroud, 25-1.
Caleb Williams. I'm looking at DraftKings.
Caleb Williams, 31-1.
They actually have Burrow ahead of Mahomes by 50, plus 650. Well,
at that book. Yeah. It depends on what book you look at. But yeah.
I've got a bold prediction for you. The Bears miss the playoffs.
Ooh.
Their over-under is 8.5. So based on the over-under.
That's not bold then. Based on the over-under.
But I hear you. I'm buying all the Bears stock. Not to win the division, but I'm buying all the Bears stock as in I think that offense, Ben Johnson and what they did with the offensive line. I think the Bears are a 10-win football team.
Gonna have a rough OTH, but we'll see what Burden can do.
The division's brutal, but also the Lions are gonna be very good still, but I also don't think they're gonna be, the 14-win Lions team. I don't think no Aaron Glenn as the DC, no Ben Johnson as the offensive coordinator. They lost their center to retirement unexpectedly this summer. I don't think they're gonna be bad by any means, but I don't know if the Lions will be the automatic loss that they were for most teams in the NFL last year. The Vikings were JJ McCarthy. What does Kevin O'Connell do with him? Are the Vikings going to be 14 win team again? I don't know about that. I don't think so. So I think the Bears could be a 10 win team. And if that's the case, then that to me is probably a playoff team.
I think it's about where they finish. I think the Bears do get to that. Of course, I'm putting a lot of stock in. I love those receivers.
A couple other ones that they listed over at NFL.com, bold predictions. The Broncos will snap the Chiefs' streak of 9 straight AFC West championships. That one's definitely bold anytime you're talking about snapping a 9-year streak.
Well, it's bold and predictable. They also had the Eagles will be the first team to repeat in 21 years. Think about that. 21 years, no one's repeated. That shows you what the Chiefs are.
We went through that with the Chiefs, yeah.
With the Chiefs winning 9 straight. The fact the NFC East has had a different winner in 21 straight years, that shows you where the Chiefs are. I don't think they're ready to snap. At least it's the Broncos instead of the Chargers because I'm tired of hearing the Chargers are going to snap the streak. I think last year was the toughest road for the Chiefs ever in the AFC West because it was the only conference or the only division in the AFC to have 3 playoff teams. It was the only one. There was in the NFC had one with the East, but in the AFC it was the only one. So to me, it was the toughest one to go, and I think they've all improved. Clearly, I love the coaches and quarterbacks in this division.
At that point
but
in time.
But they won by 4 games.
Yeah. No, it's incredible. I would say heading into this season, and in, different things happen on papers, just on paper kind of stuff, but this division should be tougher this year. You have better coaching in this division than you've had in a very long time. All teams.
Raiders are viable.
Quarterback-wise, no matter what you think of Geno Smith, he's still better what the Raiders have been trotting out there the last 3 years.
He led the NFL in completion percentage 2 years
ago. So, as you go across the board, the division this year doesn't mean that the records are going to necessarily 100% be that way, but it is absolutely the toughest heading into a season based on QB coach combos that this division has had in a long time.
And you know what? That hurts the Broncos. It hurts the Chargers. Mm-hmm. It hurts everybody else, just the same. It's not just the Chiefs to look at with this. Chiefs have had this success. Mahomes only lost 1 road game in the division. But when you look at the Broncos and you think about the Chargers, well, the Raiders are going to be a tougher out for them, too. And when the Broncos play the Chargers, it's going to be a tough out for either one of those teams. Yeah. So if you start saying we think a team can supplant the Chiefs, let's not forget this division is going to be good all around, even for those teams to rack together wins because the division's better.
Another one that was listed, this one stays in division. This is, again, NFL.com just did their way too early bold predictions for the season. We're just going through if we agree with some of these or not. Ashton Jeanty, the rookie out of Boise State, top pick there for the Raiders, will run for 2,000 yards. Here's what the write-up said. Jeanty should be a heavy favorite for Offensive Rookie of the Year, given the situation he's walking into in Vegas. Pete Carroll's going to do what he always does, which is run the football like crazy. Jeanty is a three-down back built exactly for this approach. You know I'm bullish on Jeanty. I think he's easily a 1,500-yard back. 2,000, though, in his rookie year.
Yeah, $2,000 for, and this is, I've seen this take a lot.
It's definitely bold, though. I'll give him that.
What are the odds? Did FanDuel even have odds on this yet? Well, because I've seen this before. It's not just one person, but I don't think a rookie gets 2,000 yards.
What are the odds he leads the league in rushing?
Yeah, that's what I was pulling up. He is right now.
Does he have to get to 2,000 to do that?
He is 17-1. He has, for most rushing yards this year, he's 17-1. Barkley, Henry, Jonathan Taylor, Christian McCaffrey, Bijan, and Jahmyr Gibbs have better odds than Jeanty to have the most rushing yards. You get 2,000, I know it wouldn't have been this past year, but like you get to 2,000, you're probably going to get
I just don't see a rookie doing it. I know there's 17 games now and all I don't see a rookie doing that.
Yeah, it's the longest season he'll ever play. You know, he played in his life. College football, you're not playing in 17 games. I think he's going to have a very strong rookie year.
He's the Mountain West in the NFL.
He's the rookie of the year favorite. I've told you, I think Travis Hunter is intriguing because I think voters are going to say, oh, he was average on offense, but he's also playing defense. And so
he's got the Otani factor.
The mindset's going to be bizarre. There's a offensive rookie of the year and a defensive rookie of the year. We know this, but I think voters are going to give him defensive credit for offense. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree.
And I think that's why Travis Hunter's a better bet. Because I think while they're not supposed to, voters will not be able to separate the defensive award and the offensive award.
Ashton Jeanty's over-under, by the way, is 1,075.5.
I'd take the over.
I would smash the over.
I mean, barring an injury that we can't predict.
But that's obtainable.
If he's healthy, how's he not 1,000 yards?
You're 70 a game. Right?
I mean, if he's healthy, I don't see how he's not. All right, one final bold prediction that was listed, then we'll talk a little bit about the Packers because I think their situation is a little bizarre right now. Here's one more for you. It says Caleb Williams will throw for 4,535 touchdowns.
If that happens, they're definitely making the playoffs.
If that happens, he's...
That's very bold, I think.
That happens. If you do that, 4,535 touchdowns, like, dare I say, you're finishing top three in MVP if you're a 12-win team.
Especially
you
know with the narrative, obviously, of him having that sort of a year. I mean, with that much of an improvement, I think he'd definitely be in
the top. But DJ Moore, Romo Dunze, Burden. I mean,
revamped O-line, offensive mind. You know you're getting a great offensive
Colson
mind.
Colson Loveland, a tight end.
I mean, the expectations, I think, are very high
Cole
there.
Cole Kmet, backup tight end. I mean, they give some weapons, man.
He will be the first Bears quarterback ever to get 4,000 yards passing. That's going to happen this year. I think that's true. I don't know if that's that bold to say, but 4,500, I don't think he gets there.
What were you last year, though?
Way less than that. 37, 38, something like that? Or what was it?
And you know that's going to go way, way up with a better offensive line because they spent a ton of capital on their offensive line.
A real play caller or offensive mind. Yeah, genius.
You can bring Joe Tooney in and stuff like that. So they've definitely revamped that line. He threw for 35, 41, 20 touchdowns. So to go to 4,500, I think it's possible with the head coach system now and the new offensive line. I think and this receiving group is ridiculous.
Yeah, I think he gets 4,000, becomes the first Bears quarterback to do that. But I'm still pretty bullish on Caleb Williams. I know a lot of people, for some of you, for off the field reasons, don't like Caleb Williams, don't believe in him.
I think
it's all there for him this year, and he does have a ton of pressure, admittedly. And you could argue amongst quarterbacks, he's probably got the second most pressure of any quarterback. You know, Josh Allen has Super Bowl pressure, right? Nobody's saying that for Caleb Williams, but because now Caleb Williams has what most people think is a legit offensive mind, he's got the weapons, he's got the revamped O-line. It's like, all right, time for you to show us, though, what we all have seen in college and all believe in the skill set. If he goes out there and lays an egg this year, then yes, the conversation, of course, changes around Caleb Williams. But I think he's about to go out there and prove a lot of people wrong.
I think Jake Daniels did put pressure on him, though, because he was selected right after. And he's everybody's mind a better quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that has put some pressure on him to some extent.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.